16th chapter of the book of John, a verse that I want to talk to you about for a little bit. John chapter 15. Ninth verse. It says, as the Father hath loved me, the Lord Jesus doing the speaking here, recorded by John. He said, as the Father has loved me, hath loved me. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Just like the Father hath loved me. We talk about the length and the breadth and the height of the love of God. We cannot fathom it. Cannot be measured. High as we can go, it's still higher. Deep as we can go, in the depth of His love, it's still deeper. It's still broader, whatever direction. But the same measure of love that the Father hath loved the Son, the Lord Jesus said, so have I loved you. So. That's amazing, isn't it? Love that cannot be fathomed, cannot be measured. Wonderful. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ to His people. Loves His people just like the Father loves Him. I think that's a great thing. When the Apostle Paul, over there in the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians, when he spoke of marriage, he said, behold, I show you a great mystery. Great mystery in this marriage business. And it's likened unto the love of God in Christ Jesus for His people. He speaks here of marriage, and he says in verse 32 of that fifth chapter, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and His church, Christ and His people. The only thing that's recognized in the Word of God by way of a visible assembly, a group, is His church, which is His people. His people. This is a great mystery, is what I'm going to talk about, he said. I speak concerning Christ and the church. It's a mystery of love. Mystery of love. Cannot be fathomed. It's a great mystery. It's a great mystery. We can get out on the edges of it, and we can see a little bit of it and feel some of it, but it's a great mystery. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ to His people is the most profitable subject, the most profitable thing that a preacher can bring before the people that he's preaching to. Most profitable theme or subject that can ever be brought before Church of the Living God. But I myself greatly need the help of the Spirit of the Living God, the Holy Spirit that He promised to give, that abides in us forever. I need the help of the Holy Spirit in order to prepare my mind and to prepare your mind for the enjoyment of this truth. It's one thing to hear the outward sound of the love of God, but it's quite another thing to feel the inward sense of it. Most people hear the outward sound, but only His people feel the inward sense of the love of Almighty God. So I ask you this morning, is He your hope? Is He your joy? Is He your all in all? Has He made Himself known to you? Have you renounced your righteousness and laid claim to His righteousness as the only means of your acceptance before Him? Have you received Him and His fullness as the sacrifice for your sin? Do you know Him as your obedience? Do you have His perfection? Is your perfection His perfection? Is your righteousness His righteousness? Is your righteousness in His righteousness? Your perfection in His perfection? If that's so, if that's true with you, then you've got to dispense all your doubts and all your fears, and know that He speaks to you with His own lips, as well as out of His own book, the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures. It is as real. Now listen to me. I said, if you know Him, not just the outward sound of His love, but have you felt and experienced in an inward sense of His love, you know Him. I know Him whom to know is life eternal. He's my Lord, my Redeemer, my Savior, my sacrifice, my righteousness, my obedience. He's everything, all I need. I have no righteousness. I've renounced all that. He's mine. And if that's so, it's as real this morning as if He stood or sat there by your side and took you by the hand and spoke, looking into your eyes with the tenderness of His love and His mercy, and says to you, as the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. That's the way you got to take this. But it's qualified. You've got to be one of His. If you're not one of His, you ain't going to hear it. It'll just hit you and leave you. But if you're His, you'll feel a sense of it. And you'll begin to enjoy the love of Almighty God. Now, He's speaking here not of His general love of benevolence to all flesh or to all humankind. And God does have a benevolence towards all flesh, all humankind. He makes the sun to shine upon the unjust as well as the just, and the rain falls upon the unjust as well as the just. He's not speaking here of His general love of benevolence, but that special love and affection which He has for His own people. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. How He loved the church. Husbands, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. That's what He's talking about, that kind of love. A spatial love, a spatial affection that He has for His people. He says here in this 16th chapter of the book of John, or the 15th chapter in the 19th verse, He said, I have chosen you out of the world. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. Verse 19, if ye were of the world would love his own, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So you see that He's not speaking here in this text that I gave you here, where he says, as the Father hath loved me, even so I've loved you. He's not speaking to the whole world in general, in a sort of a benevolent love that He has for all flesh. But He's speaking here in a love that and affection to His own people. You have not chosen me. If I did not choose Him, then it must be He chose me. There is a sense in which those who are believers in Christ, we did choose Him. But we chose Him because He chose us. See? He formed the initiative. It was not us. It was because He loved us that He chose us. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. Spatial, spatial love. We need to remember, brethren, sisters, this verse of Scripture here that says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. He chose us in love. And the reason of his choice is seen over here in the book of Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter. Let me read this to you. He says in verse 6 of the 7th chapter, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. His people. A spatial people, a chosen people, above all that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you. You remember that. Because the Lord loved you. He chose us in love. And the reason of His choice was love. Nothing more, nothing less. He loved you because He loved you. It wasn't because of anything in us. He says of these Jews, it wasn't because you were great in number. You're the fewest of them all. I loved you. I chose you because I loved you. That's God's prerogative. He can love whom He wants to love. He loved you because He loved you. We talk about the doctrine of election. Election is based upon affection. Election is based upon love. The whole system of divine love springs, flows from this one source, and it's the love of Almighty God. If you are one with Him, if He's your hope, if He's your joy, then He loved you before the world began. And all because He would love you. He loved you in order that He might manifest His love to you. The reason for His love was never found or seen in you. But the reason for His love is found in Himself alone. So great was the love of God towards His people that He had chosen from the foundation of the world that He became a man for you. That's how great His love is for His people. That He chose us in Him before the world was, and in order to manifest that love to us, He, God Himself, became a man. He counted it, the Bible says, not robbery to be equal with God. Our Lord Jesus Christ left His Father's house. He left His Father's house. He loved His Father, and His Father loved Him. But in order to redeem us, He must leave His Father's house and become a man, that He might become one flesh with you and I, with His church, with His people. He might become one of us. Now listen, if He had never been the babe of Bethlehem's manger and the man of Nazareth, acquainted with grief and a man of sorrows, He could have never, in all points, been like unto His brethren. What love it was that brought the Lord of glory from His Father's house, from His Father's throne, from the highest place in heaven, to become the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Amazing love. I think it is. Listen, having become a man for us, and you've heard me say many times that He is as much man as if He is never God, and as much God as if He is never man. He is the man, Christ Jesus. He become a man that you and I might be redeemed. Jesus Christ died because of love for us. The laying down of His life is divine proof of His love. He died voluntarily. No man took His life from Him. He was not the victim of an unruly mob who was in mass hysteria and could not control themselves or couldn't be controlled by others and got out of hand and took His life. No, He said, if I called my Father, He'd send 10,000 angels to my rescue. No man takes my life from me. I let down voluntarily. There was no necessity upon Him as unto us to die. None whatsoever. Other men, if they died for us, human men, just human men, not the God man, if other men would die for us, they would but pay the debt to nature a little before its time, and that's all. But Jesus died, who needed not to die. So far as He Himself is concerned, He needed not to die. His death on the tree, voluntarily surrendering Himself to the eternal purpose of God. His death on the tree is to us the greatest infinite proof of His infinite love. He must die the death of a felon, hanging between two thieves, utterly friendless, the object of ridicule, despised and rejected, looked upon as the offscouring of this earth, bearing our sin in His own body, and all this, as I hear it from time to time, makes me say, behold, what manner of love is this that the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we might be called the sons of God. It was because of this love that the Lord made you. Over here in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, we have our condition by nature represented as that of a deserted infant cast out in the field. Unwashed, unswaddled, bleeding itself to death in filth and in mercy. Let me read that to you. And to say, verse 3, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite and thy mother an Hittite. As for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all, and none I pitied thee. This is the condition that every one of us who lays claim to the love of God, that's our condition, Bob. No, I pitied thee. Here we lay in filth and misery. But it's written here in the Scriptures where it says in verse 6, when I pass by thee, God in Christ, pass by thee, he said to the infant, live. And the infant lived. Live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. When we were dead in trespasses and in sins, he spoke to us and we lived. You know, when the great apostle was converted, the apostle Paul, who was an enemy of the Lord Jesus, and on his way to Tarsus to gather those that were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ and to put them in jail, to imprison them, and to kill some of them. He was on his way to do that. I've heard people say, well, Paul was under conviction for a long time. No, he wasn't under conviction. He wasn't under conviction. It happened to Paul suddenly. All at once, he was riding along. Him and his deputy sheriffs. And they was going down to this other city to get these people. He had their names. And he was going to put them in jail. He's going to kill them. He's going to shut them up once and for all because they was telling people about Jesus Christ. And Paul hated the name. And he was trying to do away with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And suddenly, just that quick, the force of God unhorsed him and put him on the ground. Couldn't speak, he couldn't see. Finally, he said, Lord, who art thou? The Lord said, I'm Christ. I'm the Christ. I'm Jesus. That experience with the Apostle Paul changed his whole life. That's our condition, dead in trespasses and in sins. But he came along. He came where we were, and he found us. And he said, live. So you remember your cast down condition, filthy, in your misery, unswaddled, naked, dirty, out in the field. You lay between the jaws of death and no eye pitied you. No one cared about your soul. You didn't even pity yourself. The Lord Jesus looked upon you long before you ever looked upon him. If you're saved this morning, you are not saved because you had a first look at him. He looked upon you before you looked upon him. His look upon you caused you to look upon him. He said, "Leave." He spoke to you long before you ever spoke to him. He said, live, and you did live. Before that, you were dead in trespasses and in sins. But he washed you. He clothed you. He beautified you. He adopted you. He made that wretched, cast out, unswaddled, lying in its own blood to be a joint heir with himself. And so long as we live here on this earth, you and I, who have been the object of his mercy and his grace, who were dead but he said live, you and I We ought to praise Him as long as we live. The lover of our souls. He loved us and He gave Himself for us. And He said, as the Father hath loved me, I love you in the same way. Ought not we to praise and to honor and to worship Him the rest of our lives if He did all this for us? Ought to. That's our business, isn't it? Is worship and praising Him. Our business is not to... we're to remember the poor, help the poor, as the Lord enables us to help them, we're to do that. But our prime responsibility in business as believers in this world is not to make the world a better place to live in. That's not our objective. To do away with guns and to do away with this and do away with that and all that, that men and women, boys and girls might live longer. That's not our business. Our business is to tell the story, is to be a witness of the testimony of God's dear Son in this world. And that's the testimony of God, that He sent the Lord Jesus Christ that we might live. And if we live to be 100, we ought to still be praising His name. Huh? Inasmuch as we are by nature a great distance from God. We're far off from God by nature. By nature. And we needed to be brought nigh unto God. Jeremiah, that prophet, he had a wonderful passage there in the book of Jeremiah. He said that the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore have I drawn thee unto myself. Oh, do you remember when you was lifeless? I remember when I didn't have no life. I was lifeless. I was a dead corpse. I remember that. I was as lifeless as a stick of firewood. Had no life in me. But He made me to run in His way. He drew me unto Himself with the cords of love everlasting. Oh, drawn to Him. Overcome my stubborn rebellion. So I'd delight in Him. I'd delight in Him. And I love Him because He first loved me. The Lord did all this. And what was the reason for it? Was His love. He loved it. Reason can't be in us. It can't be because there's nothing in us that's lovely. Just the opposite. We, by nature, didn't run after Him. It was He that run after us. And why did He run after us and draw us unto Himself? It's because He loved us. It was for that love that He forgave us of all of our sins. All our dark, black, nasty sins that we must keep them to ourselves. It can only be mentioned in the darkness of night to ourselves and not unto other people because of the vileness of who we are. But it was out of the love of God in Christ that He hath forgiven us, blotted them out, and remembered them against us no more. It was the hand of God Almighty that blotted them out, a hand of love. It is His love that continues to give us the best of spiritual drink and spiritual meat that all of our wants as believers are satisfied in the Lord Jesus Christ. He hath given us shoes our journey home. He has given us armor for our warfare while we're here. He has given us strength for our labor. He hath given us rest for our weariness. He hath given comfort for our sorrow. He hath said that there is no good thing will I withhold. He's led you and I through the wilderness in safety, even unto this hour. Why? Because of that love. As the Father hath loved me, even so I have loved you. Same measure. See? The reason for it all, Bob's His love. It's not because you're such a good fella. I'm such a good fella. It's not because you got a good marriage. It's not because I got a good marriage. It's not because of anything in us. It was by His sovereign choice. He set His affections upon us. He loved us before time ever was. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to redeem us. Surely, He loves us, as I've already mentioned, more than our parents love us, more than a child loves his mother and his father, and certainly that is great love. He loves His blood-bought ones that are joined to Him by a living and everlasting union. He loves us as a bride is joined to the bridegroom, He says in that mystery. You this morning, who are the objects of His love, you are, because of that love, identical with the covenant head, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. God, because of love, has dealt with the Lord Jesus Christ as though He had sinned your sin. That's love, isn't it? And now He deals with you as though you had wrought herein is love, not that we loved Him, but that He first loved us. I say unto you this morning, to live 1 hour in this world apart from experiencing the love of Almighty God is an hour of infinite danger. God knows the second, the minute, the hour, and the day when He calls us from this world. Oh, in the hour that you die, you pass beyond hope. No! All His love, by the way, is free. Unsought and unbought. And He says in the book of Hosea, I will love them freely. Freely. If there was any beauty in you and any beauty in me, it must have been first in His own eyes because He couldn't find it. Free. Free. Absolutely free. Don't have to pay a penny. Let Him come. He that hath no money, let Him come and buy milk and wine. It's so free, so full, so complete. It's amazing. It's wonderful. It's beyond explanation. You'll never hear in this world or in the world to come better news than this. Never hear. I don't care how long you live. If you live to be 150 years old, you won't. But there's always that possibility. But if you do live to be 100 years old or 150 years old, you'll never hear better news than this. There's no better news than this. Do you think it's good news or the best of news if the doctor tells you we can save that child's life? Well, that's good news. Oh, boy. We've worried some. We've worried. We've fretted. Oh, we just couldn't understand how in the world we were going to continue on if the baby dies, if the boy dies, if the daughter dies. Oh, if he says your wife to you about your wife, she's going to live. I think I can save her. I almost assure you not to worry. We'll burn through this. I said, well, that's good. What a relief. But the best news that a man can hear in this life is not that, although that's good. Best news is this. He loved me and gave Himself for me. That's the best news. If that ever falls on your ears, if God ever brings that home to your heart, you'll understand what I'm talking about. You'll understand why I've been telling people this for these 40-some years. You'll understand. The more that we see of this love of God in Christ for us, the more we despise and hate ourselves because of our want of love in return to Him. Loved us. He has given to us His crown. He's given to us His garments. He's given to us His body. He's given unto us His soul, His life. He hath given Himself. He hath made Himself known to our souls. What more can He do? As the Father hath loved me, even so I have loved you. May your doubts be dispelled. May your unbelief be overcome by belief, knowing that it's the love of God which is the fountain and the center of the salvation of the sinner. The reason is never in you. The reason is always in Him. And unto Him be honor and glory. World without end, throughout all